So we come today to the end of this 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, when he's been giving us a series of seven different parables about the kingdom of God. And so today we're given a series of three parables that reflect on different aspects of the treasures and the gift of being part of this kingdom, being part of this relationship with the Lord. And so these three parables invite us just to reflect more deeply about this call and this sense that we have. The first of the parables is about this person who just happens to stumble somehow upon this buried treasure, treasure that's hidden in this field. Now that's fine, but there's this kind of question that hangs over the parable, which is just the sense of, is it morally okay what this man does? We're told that he goes and sells all that he has in order to be able to buy this field. We kind of wonder, well, shouldn't he just be going to the owner of the field and telling them that, look, there's this amazing treasure that's hidden there in your field. What good luck and what good fortune you have. But no, there's this kind of moral ambiguity that Jesus doesn't address in this. We're not given enough information to really know what's the background, what's going on here. We're simply told that he goes off happy, and of course he should if he is able to buy this cheap piece of land that is actually worth way more. So it's this moral ambiguity that kind of sits there, and we don't know the answers to this question. Jesus doesn't give us enough information in this parable to be able to provide an answer to that. When it comes to the second parable that he tells, it's much simpler, much clearer what's going on. This merchant has been spending the whole of his life looking for fine pearls. He's been valuing them, judging them, determining them, buying them, selling them. And so when he sees this pearl that is exquisite, that's perfect, that's flawless, he knows that this is the one that he's spent the whole of his life longing for, looking for. And so, of course, he goes to sell everything he has in order that he might possess this one pearl that will make him completely happy. Although we're not told that he goes off happy in this. So there's this intriguing parts of this. This story reminds us of another story. It's about an Indian monk who just happens to find within the grounds of the monastery this diamond that is just beautiful, exquisite, and huge. It turns out, in fact, to be the most valuable diamond that has ever been found. And the monk, because of his desires and his detachments from all such things, he just holds the diamond there in his room. And then at the same time, this merchant who's there in the village has this dream that he needs to go to the monastery because there will be a monk there who will give him something that is of unquestionable value. And so he goes to see this monk, and he explains the dream that he's just had to the monk. And the monk says, oh, that probably relates to this diamond. Here it is. You can have it. And the merchant is, of course, ecstatic because it is this exquisite, huge diamond that would be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And so he takes it home and is just filled with joy and wonder at this incredible gift that he has just received. Because he's unable to sleep and tosses and turns day after day, and after a week he goes back to the monastery to see this monk and says, here, you can have the diamond back. What I want is the treasure that you have, that you are so free that you're just able to hand over this diamond to me. Because this is what Jesus is inviting us into, this freedom where we're not caught and bound by all of the stuff that we have, but we have this freedom to be in relationship with him, to be loved so tenderly, so preciously by God. This gift of being invited deeper into communion with the Lord, that this is the invitation, this is the treasure to be known by God, to be loved by God. And then we're given this third parable, the parable of the dragnet. And this net is massive. They would have been probably about 2 meters deep and perhaps up to 100 meters wide. So several boats would have been necessary to drag this monster net collecting everything that was there in the waters as it went across. And so this sense of everything being collected, everything being invited into the kingdom, this whole of all kinds of fish, we're told, are caught up in the net. And so it speaks about the inclusivity of the invitation, that God's invitation is available to all. You know, the church has always said that salvation is offered to everyone. Everyone is invited, everyone is to be included in this. But there is this expectation that we will bear fruit. There is this hope, this desire that we will respond to this conversion, that we will get rid of all of the junk, all of the badness in our lives that we also saw last week in the parable, and to find that fruitfulness, to find that desire. And so this invitation to be free from all things that will hold us back so that we can, in fact, respond. And then he concludes this series of parables by asking this question, do you understand what I'm talking about? And then giving this, perhaps another parable, this other illustration about the wise steward who becomes a disciple of the kingdom and brings out of the storeroom things both old and new. Now in the ancient world, as it was indeed for all of history until really the late 20th century, old things were always considered better, were always considered more valuable. Old things were about wisdom and the wonder and the grace and the gift of that, things that have been tested and proven over the course of time. But over the 20th century, we began to pervert that and change that to the old things were of no value anymore, that there's a new, shiny, bright things, that the latest gadgets, the latest innovations, they were the things that were truly valuable. But no, the ancient world understood that the old was the good, the valuable, the old wine, the mold things, the things that had been worth and had proven themselves. And so Jesus is saying, yes, we need to draw both the old things, the treasures of the Word of God, the gift of the covenant relationship, all of those things that have been able to test themselves over the centuries. But there needs to be this new gift as well, the new edge of the kingdom, the breaking in of this new life and this vitality. Both are necessary. The church has to be infused and influenced by both the old and the new. It's only in that that we're able to find our life. Because ultimately this is about the kingdom. It's about this gift that is available to us, this offer, this invitation to receive this life, to be changed and transformed by this life here and now. And it's worth any cost. It's worth this change. It's worth this desire that we're able to experience this, to give ourselves to this treasure, because it's nothing less than the very life of God, nothing less than the gift of relationship with God. And this is what God is inviting us into, to surrender everything else, to get rid of everything else that holds us down, that holds us back. All of those regrets, all of those failures, all of those things in our past that shape and mold us, in order that we can have that freedom just to be before God, to offer ourselves to Him, and not to be bound by all of those expectations, all of those things that say it's about working harder, it's about doing more things. But no, it's about grace, it's about gift, this utterly precious pearl that's offered to us. That's the salvation that is available to us. And so to receive that today and to allow the Lord to deal with everything else, to take away anything that gets in the road, so that we will have that freedom, we'll have that joy, and that we can indeed go off happy, having found this treasure at last.